And I've said this before, but when the children leave, you know, a lot of the good energy in this room has now left. So this morning, you're going to have to pick it up a bit, you know. Hold up your end of the bargain here as we turn to God's Word today for us on this Good Shepherd Sunday. I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, these familiar words from Jesus today. And I'll give you just a moment to find that with me. John's Gospel, the 10th chapter. It's always a wonderful sound, you know, pages turning in Scripture. You know, on the keyboard, whatever that sound is, you know. We're going to read together. One more verse than the one listed. We're going to go through verse 11 today. "Very truly I tell you," Jesus says, "anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name." We've been singing about that this morning, right? "He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Amen? Amen. Would you pray with me? And now, Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are indeed my rock and my redeemer. Amen. There's a book that has been an inspiration to me, one entitled A Prayer for Children, written by a woman named Ina Hughes. And at the end of the book, she imagines how nice it would be if those who are parents could send their children off to the first day of kindergarten with a letter for their teacher, one that might read a little like this. And since it's written by a mother, I thought it might provide a connection for us on Mother's Day. "To whom it may concern, and I sure hope it does," she writes. "This one right here is a very special little 5-year-old girl, especially to her father, who's still babbling incoherently about where all the time has gone. Seems like only yesterday she spent her mornings flopping around in my shoes and watching Sesame Street. But if you know a few important things about her, why, it will help her to love school. For example, whenever she gets upset, she gets a stomach ache. The best remedy is to put her on your lap and kiss her 3 times, on the cheek, the neck, the forehead. Just a little family ritual you might want to know about. For lunch, she doesn't like spinach, squash, asparagus, cooked carrots, yams, beets, veal, or potato salad. I'm just telling you ahead of time. She likes hot dogs, no mustard, hamburgers with mayonnaise, soup, Campbell's chicken and stars, pizza plain, and peanut butter, not the generic kind, and never, ever crunchy. Also, please add a teaspoon of sugar to her milk or she'll make a horrible face and spit it out. Her lunch money will be in a little purse around her neck. She knows her quarters from her nickels, but dimes give her fits. Just remind her that a dime is a thing she swallowed once. If she should ever lose her money, please don't let her go hungry. We got MasterCard and Visa. She forgets sometimes that she needs to go to the bathroom, though you can usually tell by the way she stands. She doesn't like to wash her hands before lunch, so would you please patiently remind her? 10 times usually does the trick. She's so very worried about carrying her own lunch tray and the food sliding off, and about finding my car after school. So if you wouldn't mind, could you carry her tray for her, like just for the first 6 months? And my car is a green Dodge. There'll be a dog waiting in it with me. If you'll just remember these few things about our precious angel, while I'm sure she'll be your favorite student, destined for fame in the Red Robin Reading Group, the Talent Development Program, the Safety Patrol, and eventually Phi Beta Kappa. I'd be happy to come and sit in the desk with her if you need me. P.S. Please don't make her grow up too fast. We like her just the way she is. That's a letter we parents laugh at, right? Though not too hard, because it hits pretty close to home. Oh, the fear we have that those we entrust with the care of our lambs won't get just how amazing, how special, how utterly unique and truly remarkable they are. One day, Jesus made a truly remarkable statement about his lambs. Said, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." According to John's gospel, that's what makes him good. His willingness to get involved, his willingness to risk his life for the life of the flock. His flock, not somebody else's flock, not the flock that somebody else gets $6 an hour to look after, but his own flock, the one he's bought and bred and doctored and protected and now parents. He has invested in the flock, don't you see? And in more ways than one. When the Bible talks about being a shepherd, it doesn't necessarily allow us to understand what that relationship implies, the relationship, as Amanda was sharing with us, between the shepherd and the sheep. The sheep are his livelihood, that's true, but they're also almost like an extended family. They're those who know his voice, who know his touch, who know his walk. If they're grazing with 1,000 other sheep and their shepherd calls them, they will separate themselves from all the rest and follow their shepherd home. His flute is the sound of safety for them, the sound of still waters and of green pastures. And he knows that sheep aren't dumb, the shepherd does. That's something a city boy like me has had to learn. I always thought they were dumb. We sometimes think sheep are dumb because they can't be pushed. And most of us are pushy. We like to be able to control our sheep from behind, not out front. But sheep need to be led, not pushed. In fact, they won't go anywhere that somebody else hasn't gone first, namely their shepherd, who goes ahead of them to show them that everything's going to be all right. That's what it means to be a good shepherd. You go first. In fact, so well does a good shepherd know the sheep that they will trust him, they will trust her with their very lives. What was that story I heard? The story about Middle Eastern shepherds who have been seen tending their flocks. And they come upon a roaring stream, nothing but white water. And eyewitnesses have watched as shepherds wade down into that rushing stream and cross it, only to have every last one of those bleeding, knee-knocking sheep follow the shepherd to safety on the other side. It is astonishing to witness that. No sheep in their right mind would step into that kind of danger, save for a shepherd who has gone there first, who's shown them that they can do it too. I used to think if you've seen one sheep, you've seen them all. I mean, really? They're not all alike? Well, apparently there are shepherds in some parts of the world who can allow themselves to be blinded and then have all kinds of sheep brought before them, and get this, are able to tell simply by holding that sheep's face in their hands whether or not it is one of their flock. I am not making this up. They know their sheep by name and by disposition. Over there, that's Houdini, the one who's always getting out through some break in the fence. Here comes Pegleg, walking with a limp ever since she stepped in that hole. Over there, oh, that's Bossy, the one who likes butting heads with everybody. You see, there's something about ownership that creates intimacy. If the shepherd's a hired hand, he might not even know the sheep's name. A hired hand can't be expected to involve himself all the way in the lives of the sheep, can't be expected to risk his life to protect theirs. You can't pay him enough to do that. It means hired shepherds almost always do the same thing. At the first sign of trouble, like when the wolf shows up, throw down their crooks, hitch up their robes, and run as fast as they can in the opposite direction, leaving the sheep vulnerable. But not the good shepherd, not the one who has made us his own, not the one who's named us as part of his very old family. That shepherd will risk everything, even his own life. Risk it for a sheep like you. Risk it for a sheep like me. You see, I happen to believe that every single one of us deserves somebody in life who will do the stuff that the Bible talks about when it describes the kind of shepherd God is for us, a shepherd who rescues us when we get scattered during the darkness of the night, a shepherd who leads us to good pasture up there in the mountains, up where we wander off sometimes, a shepherd who makes a safe place for us where we can lie down, where we can take our rest without fear, a shepherd who strengthens us when we get weak, who feeds us with what is right and just and true. Because guess what? We get lost, and we get hungry, and we get broken and hurt sometimes, and we need that kind of shepherd. The Bible calls it agape love, self-giving love, the kind the good shepherd practices, the kind the good shepherd teaches. And I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus is that good shepherd. He's made an investment in you. His love for you is without condition. He's not just punching the clock. He's not just putting in his time. He's not ready to run at the first sign of trouble in your life. Doesn't matter what the wolf is at your door. Wolf of discouragement. Wolf of a failed relationship. Wolf of a sin you've committed. Wolf of a hope that's been dashed in your life. You might be hearing the wolf of regret at your door, or the wolf of despair, or the wolf of loss, but no matter what the wolf is, you've got a shepherd, a good shepherd, who will never leave your side. He's a shepherd who has promised to never leave you or forsake you, and you can believe him when he tells you that. 40 years ago now, I wasn't more than a lamb myself when I decided to stop running from the shepherd who loved me. My friend Manny's here today, and he was with me that night. I was 17 years old. Decided to stop and turn around and allow myself to be rescued by him, my shepherd. See, what had happened to me is something that happens to a lot of people. Deep down inside, we know that the shepherd can be trusted, know that he loves us, know that he has what's best in mind for us. But we just have to try and go our own way. Is that you? Was me? We choose to reject His protection, His leading. Think that following is somehow demeaning, less than fulfilling, and so we strike out on our own, only to find out how hollow and dark and lonely and unsatisfying life without a shepherd can be. And yet He never stops looking for us. The Good Shepherd is committed, is invested in the sheep, has this deep sense of ownership over the little ones like us, and stands between any wolf and the flock with crook raised, feet planted firmly on the ground, eyes sharp, ears listening, every ounce of His body and soul and mind at the ready. He is ready to fight if need be. He's ready to die if need be. Not out of hatred for the wolf, but out of love for the sheep. Can I tell you a story? This is one, I guess I'm going to. One a teacher of mine told me, Barbara Brown Taylor, some years ago. And it's one not far from the story we just celebrated 3 weeks ago on Easter. The story goes like this. Once upon a time, on the night before the shepherd died, all the sheep fell asleep after their big meal. The sound of the shepherd's flute in their ears. And as they slept, they shared this terrible dream. They dreamt of wolves with clubs and torches coming out of the woods. Wolves who led their beloved shepherd away and tore him to shreds on a hill outside of town. And in their dream, they were huddled together for safety, unable to think, unable to move. Stayed that way for 3 whole days, wondering if the wolves would come back to finish the job. But then on the 3rd day, they heard a flute. It was far away at first, but then it started coming closer. The most beautiful sound ever. The sound that woke them from their sleep. And lo and behold, they stood again in the presence of their good shepherd. Everything was the same again. And everything had changed. Looking around at each other, they saw what had happened. That they had fallen asleep as sheep, don't you say? But they had woken up as shepherds. Because as they slept, every one of them had changed into the image of their master. And as they stood there staring at each other, He handed them crooks like His and flutes and sent them out to gather their own flocks. Do for them as I did for you, He said, and played them a little tune as He set off to do just that. Would you pray with me? Thank you. the altar here at the front of this amazing sanctuary here at Park Avenue is open. And I invite you, if you'd like to come this morning, Jesus' promise to us is that he's gotten here first. He was in this room first before we ever arrived. And he's here at this altar. He's led the way. He's not pushing. He's leading. And so you're invited to come, if you're led, to come and kneel here. You might want to come on your own behalf. Maybe you've never stepped fully into a relationship with this shepherd who loves you without condition, and today is a day for you to come and to receive this amazing embrace from your good shepherd. And you might want to come on behalf of another. Maybe there's a sheep in your life who has wandered away, and you just want to come in the quietness of this moment and kneel before a God who loves you and who loves this precious one. So you come now.